How surprised are any of you that he can fly at his age as well as he does?
It's every day.
Yeah, we check him out of the nursing home every weekend.
Sometimes we don't wind him up enough in the mornings, and he gets about halfway through the day. But most days he does pretty good.
What I tell folks, and the little girl up here, she asked me, you still flying? I'm going, oh, that hurts. But they let me out of the nursing home on Thursdays. I have to be back in Monday afternoon. And they want to put a bracelet on there on my legs, GPS, so they can keep up with me.
Well, just so long as they don't put it on your toe.
I mean. Yeah.
Brian, when did you join up?
Well, actually, I started when Alan got hurt, and it's kind of Oshkosh is kind of a momentous thing for that. He actually got hurt about a week before Oshkosh, about 8 years ago, and that was they called me. I'd been flying for Red Baron for several years, and they needed somebody to step in and fill in, trying to figure out, you know, if they could get somebody that was able to join the formation and how best to fit in. And so I came along, and they thought maybe they were telling me, like, would you come to a couple of shows, hang out a bit, and we'll see if you get along with us, that kind of stuff. And who knows, by the end of the season, you might fly a show or two, you know, that kind of thing, if it works out. So I showed up, I think, on a Thursday, and the following Thursday we did the first show, and it was it all clicked. It worked pretty good.
How challenging was the transition to join the team? They knew each other so well, both in the cockpit and out. How challenging was that?
Well, we're from the same region, so biggest battle of learning the language, and I had that knocked out, so that worked out good. But no, we came from similar flying cultures as well, so it fit right in. I had to learn how to fly. Well, I basically had to learn to put the gear up. I've been flying Stearmans for 16 years, and you know, I had to learn to work the T6. But all the rest of the flying was pretty much the same. And you know, the story about trying to figure out where to put me was they were pondering it. I said, well, it seems pretty simple to me. I said, I got a bunch of lead experience. I said, you need a lead. Put me out there. All I got to do is fumble around and stay in the box somehow, and y'all just do what you've been doing for 25 years. And it worked out pretty good.
So you're fly lead now?
No, I flew lead for the first year and a half. Right. And then we had to get him fixed. He had a little heart problem, and we lost him for about a year. And so I flew his position for a year, and that's when Jimmy showed up. And Jimmy was our backup pilot, and we pressed him into service as lead for 2010. And then once we got him fixed, got him back the next year, then Jimmy went back to standby status, and then they moved me to right wing, and Mark pushed me out of lead. He didn't want me to lead anymore. So,
so Jimmy, you joined more recently than any of them.
Right. I was 2010 when Gene had a little medical issue, and then they took me and said, hey, you get in the front, and we'll tell you what to do. And, you know, so I led. And then, like I said, when Gene came back, they had a four-ship, and then I kind of went out for a year. I didn't do much. And then they said, hey, why don't you keep working at it and practice? And, you know, Gene and I started swapping out because we both fly the slot position. So it kind of gives us a situation where if somebody was to go down, we could move around a little bit and have a backup and keep flying.
When, no, go ahead, Mark.
No, I was just saying, when Jimmy first started, somebody asked him one day, he said, do you fly lead? He said, well, he said, I just fly the airplane in the front.
But they were always telling me where to go in no uncertain terms.
When you, the off season, to the extent you have one, and then when you come back to start getting ready for shows, how much do you have to practice, and where do you do it? What altitudes? What goes on in that process?
Go ahead.
Yeah, one of the things is the routine hadn't really changed in a very long time, and so basically we're just brushing up on the skills. So we just go out and repeat the routine several times. And you know, we can get it done in the course of a couple of days. And just basically get warmed up, and some of us have to get our G tolerance back because we've been playing golf and sleeping all winter, you know. But
yeah, Jimmy's, you know, he's a new guy, so we've got a friend that's Stan Music at home, and he and the two of them will get together and kind of tune him up. You know, what we do is it's a choreographed dance in the air, and like I say, I've been doing it 32 years, so you know, you don't have to go out there and spend a season. You know, the Blue Angels, they swap guys every, what, 2 years?
Right.
Well, that's a whole new, if we did that, that'd be a whole new ball game. But yeah, all of us, I'd kind of say, are like veterans in this. And now we do practice, we go, but we won't spend, we used to spend, we first started, a lot longer tuning up, but it doesn't take us long anymore.
So when you do it, when you first start tuning up, to use your term, do you do this at a higher altitude? Do you spread out at all?
No, it's harder. It's harder up high. It's a lot more. It's a lot more.
It's also harder spread out.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's harder spread out. It's harder. Oh. The higher you are, you don't have the ground reference as much. Wow. And number two is, you need to practice in your atmosphere where you're going to be.
Yeah.
So I have an aerobatic box at home that's legal by the FAA that allows us to come do that at, not at air shows.
Right.
And Jimmy's got a box. Oh, y'all still have a box. Ace got a box. So that's how we do it.
Now explain that. You've got a box. Is this an area?
Yes.
Over an airfield or not over an airfield?
It is designated by the FAA. I'm a aerobatic competency evaluator. So if you wanted to come fly air shows, you could bring your airplane and say, hey, Steve, I want to get into the air show business. So you would come to me and I would first talk to you and do all the ground stuff. And then I could open my box. See, legally, you cannot do aerobatics below 1,500 feet, period, unless you're in wavered airspace.
I'm good.
And this box allows you to come all the way down to the surface. And you're not allowed to charge for it. You can't have, you know, you can't just say, well, I got a box and I'm going to charge it. You can't do that. It's for practice to keep everybody safe.
Right. The word risk, which I mentioned in the opening video, what does the word risk mean to all of you ever since you started flying? What's it mean?
Well, you know, I always tried to use something that Steve's dad told me. He says, you want to do something worth watching in an air show, but you don't want to do anything that's really potentially dangerous. So what I've always kind of used as a correlation is, let's just say you were standing at the Grand Canyon and you walk up and you hang your toes over the edge of the cliff. You know, that's pretty risky. That's right on the edge. But if you back up about 3 feet, it's a beautiful view and you're not going to fall off the edge. And our flying is that way. We try to push it, but we don't push it to a point where it gets dangerous. Yeah. We just don't have don't have a close call.
Yeah.
And we do have contingencies and a plan for if we have any kind of engine failures or weather minimums. You know, this is all discussed and it's in the back of our minds all the time. But as long as everything's working like it's supposed to be, we're just doing something that's fun to do and nice to watch.
Words of advice to any of you pilots out there that are getting into formation flying. We have a lot of people come to us all the time asking us about it. I'm going to give you a huge piece of advice right here. And my father told me this also. Fly where you're comfortable. Don't try to push yourself up into this so-called relative position. This is where they say I'm supposed to be. You got time for that later. First, and you can't learn anything if you're not comfortable. You need to get up there and get where you say, okay, I feel pretty good right here. Trust me, over time, all of a sudden, you're going to be a little closer. And then a little bit closer. And the next thing you know, you're going to be doing it. But if you just try to thrust yourself in there, you're going to get dangerous. You're not going to learn anything. So just take that piece of advice, and it's always worked well with me. I'm just as comfortable flying close to here as your tennis shoe. I wouldn't have done that when I first started. Yeah. You got to work your way into it, you know. So,
Brian,
use that piece of advice to stay safe.
Yeah, and to add on to this, what he was saying is, if you look at, if you ever heard the term "practice makes perfect," or maybe the follow-on "perfect practice makes perfect." Well, that's I always take that back a step and say that get back to just general practice. If when you're doing what we do, the formation stuff, there can be a perfect spot to be in. Well, if you learn only that perfect spot, if you just practice that all the time and you have it perfect every time, well, you're not going to know what's in the other realms of what could happen. You got to be ready for anything. And so you end up building a base of knowledge of what it's like to be in all these different positions. And so it's about tuning yourself to a comfortable position and getting comfortable with your abilities and knowing what that realm is so that you don't go outside of that.
Do you ever change positions? You got lead 2, 3, 4. Do you ever switch around?
We don't do it during the season, unless you know we're forced to. Somebody gets sick or something like that, and we all have flown more than one position, so we're familiar with it, and we can move people around if we need to. But we'll have to, you know, shut down and go train it up before we come out and start.
We do swap a couple of times, like slot, which is Jimmy and Gene. If you watch the show, there's a spot where they're not slot. They're actually form up and do a fly on right wing doing a barrel roll. Same thing for Brian and I fly left wing. There's a spot, if you watch the show, where we split around, then I'm flying on Brian's right wing. Well, now Brian's lead. So actually, if you watch the show really closely, you'll see where we do those. So we do change positions in the show.
Yeah. Well, over the years, you know, we've had, you know, when we brought new people on, we actually, one person that hadn't been mentioned, we had a guy named Morris Ray. He flew with us for part of a year. And like you said, we always kind of put the new guy on the right. And so, like, I spent many hours training. We were training him. And so, and what I did, I flew left wing during all those training sessions. And then we did several air shows that I flew left, even though I've never stayed over there. But, you know, I developed the skills. It's amazing. If you go fly, you'll get on the right side. You'll be really comfortable. And you move to the left, and it's like you're in a new, totally new place. It is not anywhere. The two don't complement each other at all. Now, station keeping, flying formation complement, but the dynamics change depending on what side you are. But each of us have flown. Gene's flown both sides. Brian's flown both sides. And of course, Steve's flown both sides. And so if we ever get into a situation where we've had over the years, like Alan might have a mechanical, and then what we ended up doing, either Steve immediately would take the lead or I'd take the lead, and then we just moved the slot to the other side, whatever happened to side it may be. And then, I mean, we never missed a beat. I mean, within about a minute and a half, we were back in the box. Wow. And so, but it was all because we'd all developed that skill set that we could move around like that. But we don't do it as a matter of, I mean, normally I lead, Steve's left wing, Brian's right wing, and Jimmy and Gene fly slot.